May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What's going on? It's a question I imagine the disciples thinking as they stare at their teacher open-mouthed, as he speaks to them as if they will never see him again. What's going on? It's a question I imagine Peter is thinking as God calls him to go and stay with a stranger, a Gentile, a member of the military who are oppressing his people. What's going on? It's a question I've been asking too, as Magdalene changes her nap routine yet again, just as I've gotten used to it. It's a question I'm asking as I adjust back to work. And it's a question I've asked as I read the news during the pandemic. What's going on with you? It's something I've often wondered in the last year. As we get back together and see each other physically after a long absence, we're bound to ask what has happened to each other in these lockdown days. And as we start to come back together into church, we might find ourselves questioning how this has changed us as a church community. What's going on? In the gospel, Jesus is speaking to his followers for the last time before his arrest. He says, "I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant doesn't know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from the Father." Jesus says to his disciples that he's made known to them everything from God the Father. He's withheld absolutely nothing from them. They've been given everything they need. All has been revealed. But of course we know, don't we? They don't know everything. His arrest and crucifixion and resurrection and ascension, all these things seem to catch the disciples off guard. Perhaps it makes sense retrospectively to them as they think about what Jesus has said to them for the past 3 years. But when it actually comes down to it, all the running away, the denying, the hiding in a locked room, and the doubting, well, that kind of suggests they weren't prepared. It was a time for them of great confusion and despair and isolation. They didn't know everything that was going to happen, so what's going on? What are we to make of Jesus saying he's made known to them everything he's heard from the Father? I think Jesus is telling his followers all they need to know, all they need to remember for how to live in a world without him physically by their side. He reminds them who he is. He tells them who they are. And he tells them what to do. Love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you. It all boils down to this. This is how Jesus equips them for the challenges ahead. He doesn't reveal a celestial blueprint of the next 10 years. He doesn't tell them why each tragedy they face will happen. But instead, he tells them, and by extension, us, how to live. That way that he loves us, that's how we're to treat people. And if we do that, if we love like Jesus loves, then we are friends of God. It's as simple and as difficult as that. Take heart if you don't make the grade. Jesus calls the disciples his friends here, even though they will shortly leave him, isolated and alone, as he is tortured and dies a shameful death. Now, by most accounts of friendship, leaving someone in their moment of need does not bode well for the future of that relationship. And yet, knowing the betrayals that will happen, he chose them. He loves them. And he calls them friends. Our faithlessness does not diminish God's faithfulness. It never has and it never will. The love of the Father for us, the love of the Son for us, the love of the Spirit for us is eternal and it never ceases. Or as Julian of Norwich, whose feast day is this coming week, put it, God loved us before he made us. And his love has never diminished, and it never shall. What's going on? This is grace. God knows us in our confusion and uncertainty and our doubts, and still chooses us. God loves us knowing that the love we return is marked with betrayals. And God calls us friends, even if our friendship leaves much to be desired. And it's in Acts that we see how God's grace is poured out in surprising places. Peter is staying at the home of Simon the Tanner, who's already an outcast in the Jewish community. And from there, he's called to see Cornelius, a Roman Gentile officer. And he visits and tells him and his whole household the liberating message of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. He doesn't pray for the Holy Spirit to come. But the Holy Spirit goes and comes anyway. It catches them by surprise. It wasn't part of their plan. Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? I imagine Peter saying that, equal parts baffled and astounded. What's going on? Peter didn't know what to expect when he set out. He didn't know what would happen. But he found that God chooses, loves, and calls outcasts and strangers his friends. And right in the middle of his confusion, he encounters the Holy Spirit, who leads him to experience more of God's generous grace. Even in our confusion, our unknowing, our uncertainty and our doubts and our questions, we are not far from the God who chooses us, loves us, and calls us his friends. In fact, God is with us, right where we are, extending this grace to us so that we can share it with others right where they are. What's going on? We don't know the answers, but that was never the deal with Jesus. But instead, when we turn to God, we find that we are equipped for the challenges that lie ahead. We are to love as Jesus loved us, to pay attention to the leading of the Spirit full of grace, And in doing these things, we receive what the Father has given. And if we do these things, we find that our lives become the answer to the question, what on earth is going on for God's sake? Now it's a new set of circumstances marred by new injustices. It's a new set of challenges for us in sharing the good news of the gospel. And it's a new phase in our life together as a church. But it's the same old new commandment now as it was then. Love one another as I have loved you. Amen.